I have a wife who occasionally, I hope I'm not speaking out of turn, who will occasionally me, birthday, sure. Easter Sunday, whatever. And she said, what she hates, it hurts.
Yeah.
She's like, my jaw hurts. Like,
you
after a few
keep
minutes.
Your jaw open and suck.
I know. And I have a small mouth.
Yeah, I know.
Like, it hurts to talk.
This is you're in pain little, right now.
My child's mouth is bigger than mine.
Is there any jealousy from that immediately?
A little. He does a yawn, and I'm like, how did you just do that? That was
fucking
crazy.
Stop it. It must be how little people feel when they have regular-sized babies. That
oh,
they
yeah.
immediately are like, you're already out of it.
Yeah, that's weird.
How do you parent your child when they're that much larger than you? If you're a little person and you have a regular-sized baby, by the age of 7, you're running the household.
I think we should cut this whole thing. I mean, this is bad. We can't make fun of little people.
I'm not making fun of anybody.
Yes, you are.
How
Dan hates little people. Dan
making...
is little people phobic.
Do you know my aunt had that?
Dude, I did not know that, but I have a story about a lady that has that. Wait, tell me about your aunt, because I have a story.
So I was talking about my aunt. My aunt Karen did a lot of drugs when she was a teenager in the Bay Area, and her and her friend did like 10 hits of acid. This is like early 70s.
I already am in love with this story.
And they were in downtown San Francisco, and they were in a Marriott. I don't know why, but they went by accident to the banquet hall level, and it was a little person's banquet. So they got off the elevator high as fuck on acid, and it was just all little people. And to the day she died, she could not see a little person on screen without being like, turn it off. We watched Austin Powers, The Spy Who Shagged Me. And she had a full meltdown when Mini-Me showed up.
See, this is fascinating. So this is a weird thing, because I'm like, how does this work? Like, is this a phobia? This is like an in-depth conversation we get into, because is this like a mental disorder, dysphobia, or is it just bigotry?
It's not bigotry. I think it legitimately is a phobia,
but it's a human being who can't control this, and you can't be around. Like,
what
if I was
saying,
like, I can't even look at a black person. If like we're watching the Cosby Show, I'm like, break the TV.
And your only story is you did a hit of acid and went to a black meeting.
Yes.
Like, I don't know, there's a bunch of them around, and now I'm fucking fried.
Well, it is weird, because you're like, well, then, because racism essentially is a mental disorder.
Well, it's just a
right?
form of stupidity. You believe stupidity that there is all these things exist.
But that's like learned behavior.
So was my aunt stupid towards little people?
I don't know, because sometimes if you just have a physical reaction, you can't control
it. She would, I'm telling you right now, when little people would come on the TV, she'd be like this.
There's a term.
It's called
anchovies? Is it like a peanut allergy? Like, you just are born with it? Anchodroplasiophobia.
Anchodroplasiophobia.
That sounds right.
The fear of little people. Although this
midget
term is not used anymore. I like that they put it in there, and then hold on, I'm just reading the Google.
It's like putting the N-word in Wikipedia for like,
go, but, fine, like, we don't say that anymore.
Parentheses.
And then the next sentence, I thought it was like, oh, cool, this is medical, this will be fine. And they go, by the way, we don't fucking say that
yeah,
anymore.
Yeah, totally inappropriate.
It's considered, this is so funny. The fear of little people, or we'll bleep that out, boop, and I'll put
that is so fucking
but
funny.
But listen to the rest of the explanation, because it really doesn't even tell you about the phobia. It just says, is the fear of little people a midget? Although this term is not used anymore, as it's considered offensive to people with dwarfism. So they just
hilarious.
They spent most of the paragraph going, don't call him that, though.
It's like going to like Elton John's Wikipedia, and he's like, he's a fucking homo.
Yeah,
or,
but don't call him
we don't
a homo.
Really.
He's not really that. It's also called nanosphobia. Or lollipop gildophobia. That can't be true.
No.
That cannot be
no.
true.
No. Come on. You went to like The Onion or whatever.
You went to the funniest response possible. Then they go, midget. But we don't say that. It's like right after that they go, but be cool on that.
No,
don't throw the midge word out.
So then there's also latrophobia, which is also something.
Fear
you
of my
go to like CBT.
Of my lats popping out.
Whoa, dog. Fear of dwarfs called. Yeah, this is crazy. But do you see my point? Because I met a woman and I was at, she's someone, maybe you've met her too, and I don't want to say her name or where she worked, because this is horrible, but she was in the industry side of things. And I was talking to her one time at a thing, and we were bullshit, and she had a couple of drinks, and our friend Nick Nowicki.
Yeah, I love Nick Nowicki.
One of our good buddies. He's the best.
Me and him have the same head.
Yeah, you guys look very similar.
Different bodies. We did a face swap on Instagram or whatever, and they're doing that face swap technology. Same face.
It's crazy. Yeah. It's nuts. No, you guys look very similar.
It's nuts.
But he walked in, a great comic, great actor, good buddy. He, some of the best stories ever.
I mean.
But he walked in, and this, she didn't know that I know him or she doesn't know him. She was like, oh my God, it's a little person. I can't. And she was like, he's coming over. Oh my God.
And then
I was
like, this is vile. And goes, hey guys. And she's like,
oh dude, I'm not really? Kidding. She was like, did like a fucking, like did this. I couldn't look over. And you know, we hug and say hello and catch up, whatever. This is like 15 years ago.
Did she do like a hands up?
No, she like looked away and like, I think she threw up. I'm not kidding. And I was like, that's the most insane thing. And I was like, what like a vile human being this is. And someone was like, no, that's a real phobia. And I've wanted this ever since.
And then you're the bad guy for being like, hey, you're shitty. And someone goes like, no. She actually is afflicted with something.
Well, that's the thing. I'm like, is like fucking, you know, George Wallace, does he just have a phobia? I went with a senator from, or governor from 300 years ago. But
yeah, when he had a lot of phobias against a lot of people.
I mean, it's just, it feels you're a little strange.
And I also thought you meant the black comedian.
No. That's hilarious. I meant Governor Wallace from Alabama.
George
19.
Wallace, what is even a notorious thing against? It is, it's like to dislike a group of people in today's modern age.
Yeah.
And then to be like, no, it's scientific. Everyone's like,
but I guess if you look at, like I said, it's like a peanut allergy. If you look at someone and it makes you throw up.
My aunt would not, the immediate reaction, it made me laugh every time.
But it's
the
very funny.
Immediate reaction, I was like, wait, you really not it? She'd be like, please get it off the screen.
Now, what about like Gary Veeder? Does she get a little bit sick?
Like 5 foot?
Just like a 5'3" guy? Is she like, ooh.
Hold on. I'm sorry, my mouth is watering.
She's like, no, it's fine. Sorry, it takes me a moment.
And does the reverse? Does she get around like a 7'4" person and be like, oh, I feel great?
Who was I just watching? Oh, Tom Segura's special. He talked about meeting a 7 foot person and it was weird.
The immediate response has to be, please pick me up. I mean, how do you not be around someone that large and not just want to feel safe?
Remember we have that photo of you holding Veeder.
Luis J. Gomez is holding James and I'm holding Veeder in the same way.
We got to find it and plug it in right here.
Oh, we'll find it when we put this clip out. It is crazy to me though that you can just get away by being like, no, it's a phobia. Oh, women with small tits? Sorry, it's my phobia.
Oh, that's the opposite of a phobia for me, baby.
Oh, no. We're flipped. We've always been...
Oh, yeah. We've talked about this. I love small... big tits. I just find gross, and I want to suck your dick. So I don't know what's up with me.
And Joe immediately will be like, what, they're all big and messy? And you're like, yeah. It's like when someone goes like, those ribs aren't good. They get all over your face. And you're like, that's what I want.
But I did this bit for a long time. I think about small tits is it's an investment. They stay good longer. Because fat tits, eventually, they just turn to shit and they get stretchy and bad.
Who doesn't
small
love
tit.
A bowl of pudding?
I don't like pudding.
Who doesn't like mushing them up and lifting them up?
The mush is nice.
You know
nice.
When you see people work like gum or when you see them in factories like working that
like
thing?
Like taffy?
Yeah, like taffy.
Taffy titty.
Just old taffy tits, dude. Just pushing them together and mushing them. Well, Come on, man. All that extra meat. What are we talking about?
Here's my thing with the tit. I guess there's the pencil test.
Yeah.
A pencil. You put a pencil in it.
If it can hold.
But when I have a woman sitting on my face, in the old days, a woman sitting on my face with the puss. Yeah. I want to look up and there's no fold. The tit comes straight from the torso and out.
I want to know you have a balcony. I want to know that you're up on your balcony watching the sunset, having a good time.
You shouldn't be able to lift a tit.
Love it. I love lifting, moving, slapping.
Oh, Big J's, Big Daniel. J's,
and Dog Belly. Check out Dog Belly on YouTube. Big J's special. He talks about.
Oh, the special. Great. I watched that special.
He talks about slapping tits. But then he says, my girlfriend has small tits, so it looks like I'm just disciplining someone at the mall. He goes, stop it. It makes me laugh so hard.
I like a handful of tit. I want my fingers to touch the body right here. Just a real boy.
Did I tell you about the time that a stripper found money under her tit in front of me and it ruined?
No, but that's hilarious.
We went to Diamond Cabaret in Denver, and it's, you know, topless. But they wear thongs so they can sell alcohol. Mm-hmm. And it was like a weekday, and there's four stages. and three of the stages, all the stages had dancers.
It's forced, like cancer.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Stage two, you're getting real sexy. Stage four, you're the sexiest.
That's just unbelievable.
Miss, you have inoperable sexiness. You're at stage four.
That's funny.
So all the stages had women dancing and people around it except one stage. The strippers were just getting up and dancing for no one. And so I went and took my beer and my ashtray in my ones, and I sat and I was like, hey, you got an audience member.
Are you sure?
And this woman had massive tits and she was dancing around or whatever. And then she took her bra off and she was like doing the sexy thing. Mm-hmm. And then she went like and lifted her massive tit.
Ooh.
And pulled out $100 bill.
A hundred.
And went like this and opened it and showed it to me and went, $100 in a way. In a way that stopped, I was like, I can't watch you be fake sexy now. Because she was legitimately blown away, like, huh. Like you found it in your coat and we were walking somewhere. You'd be like, wow, 100.
Yeah, see, I don't like this, but I don't like big tits. They're like fucking drawers in your desk.
That's so fun.
No, that's not fun at all.
That's what you want, tiny tits? And then there's just, you see everything.
Not tiny tits. An A cup, I can hang with, but a B cup, even a C
B
is
cup,
not
B's and C's are great.
There you go.
We meet in the middle right there.
Yes.
I'm not talking about F's. I'm just saying I can understand if you got some old taffy F's.
I don't like a taffy. I like a high sitting
now,
tit.
As a father,
I'm terrified. She's got the machine.
So she does the pump?
Yeah.
Have you been in the room to watch? Has she done any natural?
I try. Yeah, he tries. It's very difficult, yeah, as you know, and or as you've heard, I'm sure. But
I'm just deep into the world of breastfeeding. I have no kids. I'm super read up on breastfeeding.
Just on YouTube.
Yeah, Katie's like, Dan, it's dinner time. I go, hold up. So this kid's sucking right out of the nipple.
Did you know at age three they start to...
Hey, honey, at one point their milk turns sweet.
But no, so it is hard because you have to try to avoid... You don't want to just see your wife...
Get fed on.
Pumping. Yeah, yeah.
Also, that's going to start some beef with you in the house. Your son's walking around like, I'm sucking on mom's tits.
I'm like, yeah, fucking beat it. Well, she'll use the same nicknames for him. She'll be like, hey, Care Bears. And I'm like, yo. And she's talking to the baby. I'm like, I'm Care Bear. He doesn't care.
I love that.
He doesn't care.
I love it. I didn't think about that.
I got the nickname because I care.
Yeah.
I'm very careful or thoughtful.
Yeah.
He doesn't care.
This kid's just walking in. What, grandfathered in?
Yeah, he doesn't give a shit about you. Not yet. He will.
He will be.
Yes. Right now, he thinks they're the same person.
I learned that this past weekend because we were just up in Massachusetts with Katie's brother and her sister-in-law with the baby, the niece.
We should have hung out. I was there too.
I didn't know that. I was over.
What's up there?
I was in Framingham.
Yeah,
had you come down from
I was at the
Whitman?
Football game.
Oh,
yeah.
Man.
Did you go to Natick Framingham?
It's so funny you say that. Her brother and his friend Ryan did.
That's what you do.
Natick Framingham.
I was just trying to explain this. I know every rivalry in Massachusetts,
so
baby.
You know about Natick Framingham.
I just said it.
Yeah. It's crazy. It blew my mind. Because they were like, oh, do you want to go to the game? I'm like, I don't care about this fucking high school football game.
Oh, I feel bad. I brought you to the Whitman-Hansen game 40 years ago.
I think we got shit housed. We were
at 9 a.m.
That was like one of those things where you wake. Go to a Joe List Thanksgiving when he's drinking. Possibly... I'll tell you
Hopefully
this.
You don't have any more chances.
Right. That's hopefully it, or else things got real dark.
We'll see.
But I remember riding a Peter Pan bus up to see you.
Yes.
And it was traffic the entire time. I was in gridlock traffic 100% of the trip. One of the most fun thing. It was well worth the wait. Getting there and how much fun I had. God, I remember drunk crying, smoking a cigarette outside of Joe's house because I was having so much fun. I was like, this is what a family is.
Yeah, yeah. I remember that. Well, the reason you took the bus, by the way, because I was supposed to come back for a few days and had spots, mm-hmm. and we were going to drive up together, and I had to call you because I went to the Patriots game the week before, because all I did was just drive back there because I was an alcoholic and I wanted to be back in my small pond.
Yeah.
And I went with Uncle Dale to the Patriots game, and I was jumping around like a jackass and just fucking like violently sprained my ankle. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
I was like, I had like an air cast. It was like a... And I skipped all these spots because I broke my ankle.
And then you just stayed up there.
I just stayed, and then you came, and we got after it.
We got after it. It was your niece.
Jesus.
I remember being scared, or it was your cousin's daughter was scared at how deep my voice was.
Oh, that sounds right.
It was hilarious. She was maybe 3 years old at the time. And she came in and I did like the, and what's your name? And she went, ah! And just crying in my face. And I was drunk enough that I was like, do I suck? And immediately didn't even turn into like, because your cousin was like, your voice is deep.
Yeah.
And it's startling.
You were like an aunt with a little person.
Yeah.
It just, she couldn't handle it.
She was like, ah, ah, ah. And I was like, what's your name?
That must have been 2010 or something like that.
2011. It was 2012.
Was it?
Yeah, because I wore the nicest shirt I had.
I think you're right, because it was at the end of my drinking.
Yeah, and you quit.
Like
that,
a couple
that
weeks
was
later.
The year you quit.
Yeah, like 3 weeks later.
And I remember I wore clothes that I stole from Guy Code to Thanksgiving. Like, that's how I had a button up and stuff.
We were busting your balls.
And your mom was like, that's a nice shirt. And I go, I actually took this.
We were busting your balls about something. I can't remember what it was.
Oh, Uncle Dale. Kept getting drunk and being like, I mean, it was butt fumble.
Is that right?
It was the butt fumble game, Jets Patriots. But Uncle Dale kept getting drunk and going, see, you think Joe Montana is better than Tom Brady? And I went, Dale, I don't want to have this argument in a Patriots house. And he was like, you think Joe Montana is better than Tom Brady? And Brady hadn't won as many. I think there were still like two to go for Brady to win.
No, he must have won three more after that.
Well, yeah. And I was like, Montana has four. And he's like, Brady's got four. And then I did the, well, he's never thrown an interception in a Super Bowl. And he went, all right. Like watching him get mad. And I was like, please stop this. I don't like any of this.
That sounds right. Yeah, I can't remember most of it, but I remember being fucking banged up. Yeah, that was a good time.
Yeah, and then now, this is your first Thanksgiving with the boy.
Yeah,
with the boy,
and yeah, it was exciting.
Was family just circling you the whole time? Did you feel like more attention on you now than ever before at Thanksgiving?
Well, there's more attention on him.
Yeah.
So it's weird. Yeah, and it's hard because like my baby is 4 weeks old, and so everyone wants to spend time with the baby and wants the baby because they're away from him all the time. But you're also at a phase where you want.
Yeah,
baby.
He's still new.
It's like, well, give me the baby.
Yeah.
It's my baby. Time.
Yeah, I want to hang out with my baby.
Like, it's not like you're like, this, you take them. Like, yeah. When they're three and they're like, you want them? Which is like the hack. My hope is to never do that joke when people are like, your baby's so nice. Oh, you want them?
Oh, well, you have them for a couple days.
I hate hack fucking bullshit.
You're going to catch yourself doing a hack dad joke.
Oh, absolutely.
And then you're
going to
be like, and I know you're going to beat the shit out of yourself.
I know. I'm going to be like, damn it. I've done it before.
January 4th through the 6th, going to be at the Port in Baltimore. More. Come on out. Working on new jokes. Gonna hang out, have fun to start off 2024. DanSoder.com for full dates and cities. I'm gonna be everywhere. So we'll see you in the year 2024. Hope you have good holidays, Christmas, Hanukkah, Kwanzaa, all the hits. Happy New Year's, and we'll see you in 2024. Thanks for listening. Have you learned? I noticed how good Katie's brother and sister-in-law were at using the baby to get out of stuff.
Oh, I almost got out of this.
Yeah, I was waiting for it. When I texted you yesterday, I was like, if I get a baby text, I gotta let him go.
No, I canceled spots tonight because I have the baby, because it is actually a lot of
it's a human
work and stuff. Yeah, but I do look forward to be the general, like, the baby.
So we were doing a thing where they would be like, 7:30, baby's gotta go down. And we had an Airbnb, so it always was Katie and I being like, we got to go with them.
Right.
The baby's got to go down.
Yeah.
But really, we just wanted to go back to the Airbnb and hang out, watch TV, and chill. But it was that moment where we're like, what's the baby?
It's nice. Although I have been getting better. You and I both working on these things with Alan, our therapist. Like, I'm better at just being like, I don't feel like doing that.
Man, it's crazy.
I'm not going to do that.
It's
so
crazy.
That helps, but the baby is good for like people that you're uncomfortable with, maybe family, whatever.
Yeah,
that it's harder, but in general I feel like I've gotten better at being like, I'm not gonna do that.
When do you think your comic brain, I mean, both you and Sarah are comics, when is your comic brain gonna break in when the baby starts laughing? And how hard is it gonna be to be like, if you have a joke that doesn't work with your baby, are you prepared for that?
It's going
to
be tough.
Are you prepared to bomb in front of your son?
What the hard thing is, like, the switch from, like, killing for years to then him, like, being like, what are you doing? What's wrong with you? It's not funny.
But there is a chance. I mean, we're looking 13, 14 years in the future. There is a chance, though, if you get him with one, you could be like, that could be something. If I'm getting this kid,
Yeah, yeah. No, he'll be a tough audience. But it's not like, it takes a while before you can do like adult material.
Yeah,
with a
you're
kid.
Not 5 years old.
Yeah, but I mean, I look forward to it. And I have many nieces and nephews, of course. And Derek's kids are sort of extended.
So here's my question.
You got
Derek, your best friend in Washington, with his kids. You got, you know, your niece and nephew who are teenagers now.
Yeah.
And this is just, you know, your son might watch this in the future. He might be hurt by this, but are you going to use any bits you used on your niece and nephew on your son?
Oh, yeah, of course.
Are you recycling? That's my question. Are you recycling bits?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, absolutely. Because you worked them out for years.
That's
it's more
what
hurtful
I mean.
To
They're
them.
Finished.
It's like I was practicing on them for years. Yeah.
I'm like, not, Cam's going to be like, I remember that bit. I remember when he worked that out.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then your son's like, that's like my favorite bit.
Absolutely. I will re-gift and regurgitate.
Are you putting together set lists for when the kid gets older and you're like, ooh, I'm going to have the nose. Where'd your nose go?
Well, right now is the time that I'm bombing because he doesn't understand language or anything, but I'm giving him some good stuff.
Object permanence.
I literally just said that. I was saying that to Steve Rogers, who's my neighbor, and he was hanging out with the baby. By the way, I'm so fried from not sleeping. I mix up words. And I felt bad. I was trying to compliment Steve Rogers. And I was like, when you get older, he's going to drive you crazy with all his jokes. But I meant like drive you wild. Like you're going to love it.
Yeah.
But I was like, my friend just came to help me with the baby. And I was
right,
like,
dude,
he's going to fuck.
I'm sorry I write.
He's going to make you crazy with all his bits.
Also because most comics that are insecure would take that as like, well, yeah, dude, I don't know. I'm trying to make him good.
Yeah. What do you want me to do? I make jokes. I also, by the way, the other day I came home and just threw change in the trash. Like I had a fit because I'm fucking so tired.
Yeah.
I just took a bunch of quarters out of my pocket and just threw them in the trash. And as soon as I did, I was like, that's not where that goes.
Have you gone on the road yet?
I have. I did a corporate in Vegas and I did DC improv.
Did you feel guilty sleeping in?
I do. I feel guilty every minute. I feel guilty right now. Being
away from Sarah and the baby.
Yeah, yeah. But
have you guys had to talk about that? Have you been like,
not really? Because I mean, like I do well on the road, so it's hard.
Listen, I saw the post. You sold out at DC Improv.
I did. You know how it goes. And I did a corporate. So, which by the way, I have to start doing that because I've been doing self-deprecating material for 25 years, and people are like, your career's in the shitter. This is why your career's in the shitter.
You
and you're
go,
like,
no.
I have to start saying I do well.
And I will say, Joe, most of that is modesty.
Thank you.
Sometimes you have a bad set, but most of the time it's modest.
Every once in a while. But
at the beginning of our friendship, we both moved to New York in 2007, became fast friends.
Yes.
You were coming from, at the time, Boston was the city to come from. Everybody in stand-up, that was good. Now it's Philly. 2023, Philadelphia is the...
We lost the crown.
You guys lost the crown. Boston was... If someone came up from Boston, you were like... Well, they're really good. You, Bulger, Shane Moss, Ira, all these people that were coming that you're like, what the fuck? And, you know, it was a mix of Nick's Comedy Studio, the Dick Doherty Rooms, all the stuff you guys would do, all the one-nighters. You guys came and showed up and were just incredible. The Nuggets traded for Allen Iverson, and the Celtics got Ray Allen and Kevin Garnett. But before they got Ray Allen and Kevin Garnett, you and I were drinking, and I was like, the Nuggets are going to have a better season than the Celtics. And what I fucking did, and I know if you're a sports fan, you're like, I don't matter this. If you are a sports fan, you'll understand my pain. I talked shit to Joe as the city of Boston was ascending to the greatest run a sports city has ever had. You guys had 2 decades of championships, and it maybe... Little before the halfway point, I decided to talk shit and be like, you guys stink. Nuggets are going to do better.
No, it was crazy. I mean, it was a crazy run. It was a lot of fun. It fucking ruled.
So this is the conversation I have with Katie and her family.
Oh, yeah, she's
Katie's
a Boston person.
Diehard Boston sports fan. And I said, and I try to say this tenderly because I love her very much, hard to have sympathy for you when they start losing. Now the Patriots are in the track.
Yeah, that's fair. But I also always feel like I have to say to people because they're like, fuck you, whatever. I'm like, I had... 20 years of losing.
Exactly.
Of the Patriots were 1-15. The games were blacked out. And I always tell this story. I was just reminiscing to my nephew, who's 15, has only ever seen winning. I remember like one of the few like connection moments with my dad when we were watching Monday Night Football. And I was like, why aren't the Patriots ever on Monday Night Football? And he like had like got misty eyed and like put his hand on my shoulder and was like, Monday Night Football is for the good team.
Oh,
and
man.
And I remember being like, oh. Yeah. Because it was like one of those things. And back then, there wasn't all this football.
You
there was
also
like
didn't
one
have.
Game on.
Yeah, you had CBS or Fox, And then there was the Sunday night was like the garbage game on ESPN.
But even Fox is in their 30th year. So I was 11. Like, yeah. So there was like several years where Fox.
Well, it was
didn't
NBC first. It was yes. NBC and CBS.
Right.
And then Fox got the games. But I grew up completely opposite being a 49er fan. They were on every week. Right. I lived in Denver and I watched a ton of 49ers games.
Of course.
And then they get shitty and you're like, this sucks. Yeah. I don't like being an NFL fan. With your son, are you going to let him choose? He's a New York baby.
This is what's tricky. And I don't know where we're going to end up. We're going to maybe move to the Jersey Shore or I don't know where we're going to go. But I can't have him. I certainly can't have him root for the Yankees. That would be just devastating.
Is there any part of yours or Sarah's personality that comes through in your son where he does that like, fuck it, I'm going to do it? Like, here's a good example. Michael Che, born and raised New Yorker, loves the 49ers. Because his brother was a Giants fan in the 80s.
Right.
And that was the rivalry. He chose Niners to kind of be a little...
Well, it's hard because I'm like, I don't want my son going to school in fucking on the Jersey Shore with a Red Sox...
Which is what you're setting him up to do. Jersey.
But it's impossible for me in his formative years not to continue... Because now we live in a time where you can get the packages. So like, yeah. I watch every Bruins game. I watch all the Sox games. I don't watch all the Sox games. It's harder to do. But I watch a lot of Bruins, and I'm going crazy. So he's going to grow up with me going like, fuck your mother, you fucking cunt, the Bruins. So
he'll be
going to be into the Bruins.
That's what I mean. He'll be a Bruins fan. He'll be a Red Sox fan. He'll probably be a Pats fan.
But you want to take him to games. So I have this fantasy. If we move to New Jersey, I can handle the Devils. The red and black. I like red and black. Not really a Bruins rivalry too much. I can't have him root for the fucking Rangers.
That's what I mean. As a dad, what's the one team, non-negotiable, he's going to have to be a diehard with? My dad, it was the 49ers. There wasn't even a question. When I was born in Hartford, he put me in a 49ers onesie and was like, you're going to be a Niners fan.
Sure.
Is it the Bruins or is it the Sox?
I guess the Sox, because the Sox is much, even though I'm more of a hockey fan in general, but the Sox are so much more deeply in who you are as a person. And Patriots Day, we go every year. It's such an important thing for me and my father, the whole thing.
Yeah, I mean, getting to go with you to that is one of the most fun things in the world.
Yeah, it's fun. I've been trying to get Ari to go for years because he likes to do things and whatever. I mean, it's the best.
Yeah, it is
the fucking best. It's a a holiday I didn't know wasn't a national holiday until I was like 25 years
old. That's really funny. You're just pushing Patriots Day, and everyone's like, I don't even know.
Katie had the same thing. I mean, like, it takes a long time before you're like, wait, what?
Well, what's funny is you've helped me in our friendship because I've learned so much about Massachusetts culture, Boston culture, that I can speak shorthand with Katie. Because I've learned it from you, where I'm like, Patriots Day, I know, the marathon or whatever, and she's like, all right. Like, she's mad that I'm not more hyped about it, and I'm like, well, it doesn't mean anything to me.
Right.
But now that I'm married in, or going to be married into a Massachusetts family.
Does she go? We should come. You should come.
I'll go. We'll go next year.
Yes.
We're in.
I do a big gig and everything. Last year I did the Wilbur, which was very exciting.
I'm in.
Yes.
We're coming.
Come.
Katie and I will head up there.
Oh, it's the most fun. It's the best day of the year. You got to come down to Whitman. We fucking play cornhole all day. Even if it's raining, we play cornhole.
I would love
hockey playoffs. It's the fucking best.
I mean,
I once watched a Patriots Super Bowl, and I don't want to getting back to this person, but a good friend of mine came because I was like, all right, we're close enough. I can watch a game with you. He brought his girlfriend at the time, and she's long gone now. But she's just not a football fan. And she sat in a chair, like where Mike is, facing us.
What?
The whole game.
That's
like, I'm
bonkers.
Watching my team play. And it was the Falcons Super Bowl, the comeback. And she was sitting exactly where he is, looking at me.
Oh, no.
And I wanted to be like,
I know who it
bitch,
is.
Get the fuck out of my house, for
bitch,
God's sake.
Stop staring at me. Just right in your face. Well, do you remember when you were that person at a sporting event?
Whoa.
Do you remember?
Oh, the Army Vanderbilt game?
No. Close.
Oh, God. Was
close.
I drunk at least?
Yeah.
I certainly wasn't with my back to the game looking at you guys.
We went to watch Texas versus Alabama at Nate's apartment in Queens. At Nate's apartment in Queens, over by the Queens Mall. And we were there drinking, having pizza. We were pretty drunk. Alabama started blowing out Texas.
Okay.
Colt McCoy got injured. Nate's wife's from Alabama. She's Roll Tide.
Sure.
And Joe and I are on the couch, and Joe just goes, I mean, come on, Texas, make this a game. I want to see him come back. And Nate's wife was in the kitchen and stopped whatever she was doing and was just staring at Joe. And Joe went, well, you want to see a good game, don't you? And it went so flat. They were like, no, we want Alabama to win by 100.
Well, I also got in trouble, and I love Laura, and she loves me, and she's the sweetest. But I also, for what I was, had a couple cocktails,
yeah.
And I was like, and she was like literally cooking for us.
Yeah.
And I was like, you're not even watching the game.
Oh.
And Nate was like, I mean, come on.
She's making his tenders.
And I was like, well, I mean.
I mean, dude, I forgot about that.
Because she was just in the I only remember Bama you going, jersey on. And I was like,
she had the Bama jersey on. And I just remember you going, I mean, come on, Texas, let's make this a game. And she was like.
But I remember Nate being like, you don't call out a woman for not watching the game. He's like, she's having fun. She's making food. And I was like, I don't know. I lost him. I got excited.
Oh, God damn it. That was one of my.
Sorry, Laura. Sorry, Nate.
People don't realize with sports, it creates more fights than it does bring people together.
Well, I've been, yeah. The other day I was working with Nate. I pointed at you, but you weren't there. But we were hanging out, and there was like a slight thing of Belichick or Brady. And it just started, and I was kind of like, I'm a Belichick guy. And I was just fucking.
But that's
like,
what Nate needs.
But here's the thing. I'm like, I'm a fan of debate. I love debate and arguments. And so I'm like, I think of it as its own sport. And so I'm like, you have to argue. You got to make good arguments.
Sure.
And for the Belichick Brady, I hope we're not losing the whole audience. People
listen, this like, is a sports heavy episode. So be it.
Okay. Well, people.
It started with hot gay sex. And then we talked about sports.
Yeah, all my favorite things. But I don't know where you're at with Brady or Belichick. Who's? But to me, it's like you can't. People like to go, well, look at their thing since they parted. Brady won a Super Bowl.
My argument.
And Belichick did. I'm like, well, people act like that Tampa Bay team was fucking just a piece of shit squad.
Yeah, they were an all-star team.
And their front four won the fucking Super Bowl. They had Patrick Mahomes running backwards the whole game. Sorry.
Do you want my Brady Belichick take?
I'd rather not, actually. Okay. Yes, it's your show. Of course I do.
Well, I don't care. We don't have to. I just got the light. I think because of Belichick's defense and his coaching, Brady was able to become the greatest quarterback of all time. So there is no Brady without Belichick.
Right.
And I think that's the proof.
I always just say, I'm like, so like you put like...
Brady did a lot of incredible, amazing things. He is the greatest quarterback of all time. He does
agreed.
Not. He,
agreed.
He and that you know, Uncle Dale would like to hear that now. Dale, you finally got your, you got it.
But you put prime at their best, Josh Allen,
Mahomes.
Aaron Rodgers, Patrick Mahomes on those Patriots teams. They're getting worse.
No.
Like Tom put, Brady.
Think
is
about
amazing.
Putting. Think about putting a Marino on that team.
Of course.
It's insane.
Yeah, and other point that I think. I'm like adamant about is basketball is the only sport where you can really argue championships for the greatness of an individual player.
Yes.
Because they play so much of the game and they can dominate.
And
the best,
they can take
the best
it over.
Wins.
An NFL player cannot, outside of a running back, which I'm so excited to watch that Barry Sanders documentary.
Oh,
shout out
wait.
Paul, my buddy who helped make it. NFL, you can't, one person cannot dominate.
Yeah, you're off the field for half the game.
Yeah.
It's like, you know what I mean? Like, if you light up, run, throw for 800 yards and your team gives
doesn't
up
doesn't matter
yards
if your
defense,
team, yeah.
Whereas the NBA, it's like you're playing defense off it the whole game. So, like, to just point to championships, and again, the easy slam dunk case of this is like, so by your rationale, Joe Flacco is better than Dan Marino.
Yeah, because he's got one.
And yeah, it's outrageous that Do people you, point to Super Bowls.
What if your son grows up and hates sports?
Impossible. You think he's going to be a fucking queer?
It's the most. I'm really pulling the Boston Joe out of you right now. You go, oh, what the fuck you mean? What the fuck? You think he would blow you?
No,
you
know, it's
how long do you think he would take to make you come if he's full grown? It just goes back to that.
It's
how
all,
long will you take to fucking pop in my fucking son's mouth if that fucking happened?
It's learned behavior. People that don't know like sports, the parents didn't like sports. They're like intellectuals.
I don't think that's true.
Some bullshit.
I don't come think
on.
That's true. I think you're telling yourself that in hopes.
He's going to grow up loving sports because that's what makes dad happy. And he's going to want to make dad happy.
What if
happy?
He just goes like, Dad, I just want to read.
You can read about sports.
Are you going to get a Matt Christopher books? Are you gonna groom your son into being a
I'm
sports
like,
fan?
I'm like, here's Dynasty. It's like this thick.
I mean, Lewis used to just hold James and watch MMA.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not saying, sure, there are certainly people that aren't into sports whose parents were into sports.
Sure.
But like, James didn't just become a jiu-jitsu kid.
Yeah, he was
beaten into him.
And so, you will make sure your son is a sportsman.
Yeah, your parents, I mean, but, you liked the Niners because your dad liked the
Niners. Yeah, absolutely. It was the only thing we connected on.
Same.
What if he isn't?
That's all right. I'll still love the queer fucking piece of shit.
Oh my God.
No, I'll be able to do whatever he's. But I'm sure.
I hope your son uses this clip as evidence years from now, where you're like, "Why can't you want to go play ball like the other boys?"
I mean,
you said on a podcast with the late Dan Soder that you would. That you were into this
3 weeks before he died. You
it's
went on
crazy.
And said,
okay, that does scare me. Yeah. You know, that does freak me out. Yeah, I got a lot of travel coming up.
Yeah.
So let's just hope it's safe.
Yeah, December 18th, you're going to pass.
I don't do that, dude, because I'm driving that day. What are you doing? It's the day we're driving to Chicago.
You're going to Chicago?
Yeah, dude.
For Christmas?
Yeah, we're driving to Chicago, then Denver.
What are you, the McAllisters?
Yeah, dude. We're getting the station wagon. We're throwing the old furry slut in the back.
I changed my mind.
Brian Doyle.
It's got a
thing. Hey, it's also talk about dogs.
Pick up that blood.
Is it Justin Silver or Brian Doyle Murray?
Next time I see you, I want you to have a great BDM. Brian Doyle Murray.
Oh, dude. I'm going to have it by this weekend. Yeah, I'm going to leave you voice notes of a Brian Doyle Murray.
Put it over there with the rest of them, greaseball.
I'm gonna fucking bury it. You're going to get voice memos this weekend where you're gonna be like, damn.
That's what I'm hoping for. I'm on coke.
Check out Joe List's specials on YouTube.
Please.
He is one of the best working stand-up comedians. He is one of the funniest human beings I have ever met in my life. I don't ever change the top three funniest people I've ever met in my life for Joe List. Top four: Joe List, Shane Gillis, Big J Okerson, and Nate Bargatze. You are the embodiment of funny to me.
Thank you.
Tuesdays with Stories, obviously a hit. Mindful Metal Jacket, The Regs. The guy's got stuff dripping out his
Too
butt.
Too many podcasts. And I'm making a film about Tom Dustin.
I love Tom Dustin.
I think you're going to love it.
Thanks for coming by and hanging out.
Thanks for
I know
having
you
me,
got
man,
a brand new baby and a podcast and a bunch of dates, but I love you. And I was immediately like, Joe's got to come by and hang out.
Yeah, man.
Because this podcast is short. We're going to edit it down to 40 minutes and then just put it out.
We're editing stuff?
I just edit.
That was gold.
Oh, no, we'll put everything out. Whew. It's just what comes out as the episode and what comes out as the extra bonus footage. The blow me until I come thing might be, that might, we gotta decide, because that's good. I like it. That's some good.
We went sports heavy at the end.
People hate sports who don't like sports, but listen, there's going to be episodes of this podcast where I get into wrestling. Good luck.
Yeah.
Good luck getting through that episode.
Oh, I'll talk. One guy went 88 to 93. I'm happy to talk wrestling.
One guy went, Soder's new podcast sucks. He doesn't do any wrestling impressions. Like, immediately I was going to start off and be like, please don't leave. Just doing Macho Man.
That's really funny.
But yeah, we're going to talk about bisexuality. Get people going.
That's really good.
Thanks, dude. My Brian Doyle Murray is going to smoke that.
Yeah, you should be like, I wasn't going to talk wrestling. You should say, I wasn't going to talk wrestling as Macho Man, and then plug me in going, I changed my mind.
JoeListComedy.com.
Comedian Joe List.com.
Comedian Joe List.
Yeah.
He's just a fucking mensch, and he's hilarious.
That's it.